Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Tech Empowered. This is a podcast where we share real stories of people whose lives have been transformed by technology across Africa and beyond. This podcast is brought to you by Tech for Dev, a nonprofit organization creating opportunities for economic prosperity through the Tuskegee empowerment and advocacy. I am your host, Yemisi, and I am so glad to be here with you today. As we do it on this podcast, on each episode, we bring you stories of people who dared to start something new and people who probably just, dared to make a decision and stuck to it. And they grew their skills and now they're building careers that once felt out of reach. Our guest today is Ifeoluwa Okeshola. She studied chemistry at the university and started working as a teacher. But, she wanted more growth, career stability, and yes, of course, more money. Yeah, because who doesn't want more money, right? That search led her to software development and eventually to the Women Texas Fellowship, where everything changed. Just about 3 months after completing the fellowship program, she landed her very first role, earning 10 times what she used to make as a teacher. And amazingly, she didn't stop there. She joined the Developers Foundry Fellowship, another program run by Tech for Dev for entry-level engineers to upskill them to mid-level tech talents. And I'll just want you to meet Ifeoluwa because I feel like I'm giving too much away already. So let's hear directly from Ifeoluwa. Hi, Ifeoluwa. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Emisi. Thank you for having me. I'm so, so glad to be here. I'm glad to be here to share my story, to talk about the impact Tech for Dev has made in my life and my career, and what they still continue to make. So, yeah, it's nice to be here.
Fantastic. Lovely to meet you, too. I can't wait to hear your story, actually. So let's start from the beginning. Who is Ifeoluwa? Give us a bit about your background. And what makes you tick?
My name is Ifeoluwa, like earlier mentioned. I'm a back-end engineer. You've said a lot about me, but yeah, let me just go back all over it again. I studied chemistry in school, chemistry education to be precise. I graduated University of Ibadan. I graduated in 2013. Yes, then started teaching. I started teaching in Lagos, Nigeria. After I got married, I moved to Kano. And
interesting.
Yes. And that was a lot of change for me because it was a whole different language, different environment. And I think that was the first time I got a huge shocker because always, when you're in school and you're studying a course like chemistry, you've always been looked at as odd cake, this and that. So when I finished school, getting a teaching job was very easy for me. Even getting like private lessons, private coaching, it was so easy, so easy. So, but moving to Kano, it was a different environment. It's completely different. I started applying for jobs and it was not comfort. I was expecting the invitations to roll in the way it was rolling when I just finished school, and it just was not happening. So I would say it was like the first wake up call. It was a bit tough for me, quite tough for me actually. So after that, I learned about a company that Aviva Boutiques Limited. So what they do there is the majorly sell fashion items, jewelry, skincare, and basically they empower women. You come on board as a stylist and then you can sell this product. They have like a website for you that is for you. Like once you register in as a stylist or as you would like to know it as a distributor, you have a website where all their products are there. So on the user side of things, when people come to buy, they see the actual retail price. But on your side as a distributor, it is at all sales price. So you register at a particular. So you get the profit margin. Right. And also when you sell for a while, you also get extra things, extra income here and there. And it was a real breakthrough for me. And the organization came in at a very good time, whereby you're asking yourself a lot of questions like, oh, I thought it was easy to do this and that. So yes, I started the business, and I did more than just being a distributor. I got online, started social media marketing. A lot of my pages are now dormant, but I went online, digital marketing, created business pages and everything. You know, as I grew in the company saw potential, and there was a form of move up for me. So now we get to like give lectures to other women coming in as distributors, teaching them how to set up their accounts, how to market and utilize social media marketing, make use of WhatsApp. And it was really exciting. Because in the course of doing all this, you know, when you get online and you're doing all this stuff, so you say, oh, tech, and so many questions start coming up. What is tech? This is as far back as I think 2017. So what really truly defines the scope of tech? But what became a real thing that stood out to me while I was running the business and also started coaching other women in running their businesses, most of the time while I'm preparing a class to coach them, I just realized that I'm thinking of what feature will make this easy for them. What feature do they need? So I'm thinking of this feature in my mind, and I'm like, wait, this feature most likely exists. And then I go online and I realize that, oh, there's something like that that exists. There's a software product like that. There's a feature on WhatsApp that satisfies that. I read about it, then I go back, teach them about it. So it brought me to a point that I'm like, okay, if I can think about a feature like this, and I can think about, someone must have made it somewhere. Why can't I just build a product like that myself? Is there something that allows me to do that? So that was when I started learning about, okay, what tech course can I do that will allow me to actually, because the imagination is there. The ability to build is what is next, yes. So that was like my entry into tech. Eventually in Kano, so we don't close that teaching aspect. Eventually, while still selling the product, I eventually realized that it was the way I was searching for the job that was not working, because of the new environment. You need to know your ability over there before they... So I met a proprietress who has been buying from me. And I went to her school a day. I was talking with her. And she realized, what do you mean you studied chemistry? Oh, the reason I've not offered you any job role all along is because I thought your business was doing well. And I'm like, oh, my business is doing well, but stable income too is something I would like. So I eventually did get another teaching job in Kano, then alongside the business, before I now went into going for different tech courses, trying to learn on my own to do a complete switch into tech. So yeah, that's that advice. So if anyone makes me go on, I think I'm not satisfied with mediocrity. I am just not okay when things don't seem to be the way they are supposed to be. And I want to make a difference all the time. I want to make things happen and not just allow things to happen to me. So yes, that's something about me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that background into how you discover tech. I think one thing that really stood out for me from what you said is how I just realized that you sort of like developed a problem solver mindset when you were thinking about, oh, preparing your lecture notes, and then you're like, what can make this better for this person? How can this user find it easier to access this thing? That's a problem solver mindset, and that's something that is rare. I know a lot of people have that, but just like, oh, how can I, you know, get. Nobody really thinking about how to solve problems, right? And that now opened you up to, you know, learning more about, oh, this is something that can actually be built, and this is something that I can actually build to help people to solve problems like this. So that's really cool. Well done. Okay, so now you've discovered tech, you're doing some courses here and there. How did you find out about the Women Texas Fellowship? What made you apply, and what difference did it make compared to learning on your own?
All right. So for the Women Techstars Fellowship, like I said earlier, I was interested in tech and trying to find so many ways. And one thing about me is once there's something that I know that I want to learn about, the first thing I do is try to find a community of people trying to learn that same thing. So I think I joined a WhatsApp group. There was a time that I joined a WhatsApp group on a particular course, tech course. And one of the things they kept doing on the group was sending, I think I started a course. I would not want to mention the name of the organization because it's quite popular. And I was not guessing what was going on. But usually I make friends with people. So I made friends with some people going through the same course that were in the same WhatsApp group. And while talking with him, he was like, so I told him, I'm finding this thing difficult. Is it that this is how difficult tech is? Or is it me? Or am I the problem? And then he was like, tech is hard, but it's not as hard as these people are making. And he recommends that I leave the course because he doesn't think I'm getting anything. So he was the one that shared a couple of YouTube links to me to start self-learning. But I told him I didn't want to stop, that if I'm stopping now, what if I give up? Because I have this mentality of when you stop something in the middle, it means you're not ready to go all the way. But then he was like, no, it doesn't work that. Sometimes you have to know when to just put some things down that, okay, I'm going to share certain free resources with you. Don't be scared. And so I said, okay, that's fine. So he shared the free resources. However, I did not leave the WhatsApp group of that one. So I started with the YouTube links, started with Free Code Camp. It was right there on the group that a link for Women Techstars Fellowship was shared. Just saw the link and I clicked on it. I read about it and the questions were a lot. There's this thing when I click on a Google form or a Microsoft form and there are so many required. One thing I do first is I just fill in random numbers so I can see how many questions
what the questions are.
So I just kept filling and I'm next page. I'm like, wait, is it as apologies? I want to use the Yoruba phrase like Sholeto Yeni. And one of the questions that for them, we say, are you following us on all our platforms? So I went back and okay, let me go and even check these people out. So I followed on Instagram, followed around, checked around. I'm like, okay, this is what they do. I think we were the second Women Techstars Fellowship. I think either we were the second or third set. So I went back to read reviews about people that has gone through the program, what it has done for them. And so many questions, I just want to understand what it's about because I didn't want to get into something else that I won't be able to commit. So I don't start feeling like, maybe I am the problem. Okay. So I ended up sitting down calmly. Once I saw that, okay, this is serious. There are a couple of essays, like I sat down, wrote the essays, copied them, pasted, and then submitted. And I would say it's been upward from there. When I submitted and it was then I realized, okay, Tech for Dev is actually a big deal. So many people apply for this thing. It is completely free. So I knew that I wanted it, especially because it's for women. I knew that, okay, whatever they are going to do, I will have a community of women for support. So I was praying also. I was really, really praying. Then up to the next day, the exam, wrote the exam, then the interview stage. And I remember the day I got the congratulations. Oh, I was screaming. And there's a way that for them writes the admission mail. I love it. I still use it a lot of time, even when I'm talking about my journey. I think they've sent some like out of over 6,000 applications. Yeah, we are glad to say we're one of the, I think in my set we had 6,000, maybe less than 1,000 or so, less than 2,000 got in. So, when you see something like that, you are like, okay. that means they must have seen something for them to. Yes, that the way it's usually formatted, it's very encouraging. So you're going in with this confidence that, okay, if over 6,000 people apply,
confidence will start.
Yes, and we only have 1,600, and you got in, they saw something in you, and you can do this. So, of course, the orientation stage, that stage, you get scared. Because then you have blessing coming on and telling you have to be serious. You know, you have, you have assistants, you have to stay online, you have to do your assignments. And then a part of you is like, oh God, what have I gotten myself into? But I knew that I just could not stop, because at that point, I was planning to move out of Kano again, which means my entire physical customer base, I was saying bye-bye to them. The teaching job I had found, I was saying bye-bye to it. And also, I was ready for the next thing, you get. I just wanted more. Like you said earlier, you talked about money. Yes, money was the thing that I wanted more. Beyond that, I wanted to do something more, something different. I love teaching. Teaching is amazing. I still teach now. I may not teach chemistry, but I still teach now. But there just comes a time that you know that there is more to your potential than what you're currently doing. So I was really desperate for that change. I was really, really, I felt like I was in a single place for too long and I needed to do more. And I was tired of relocation affecting the trajectory of my earning and my career. So I knew I just had to do this. I just had to do this. So I started in and it's been amazing. Because one of the things that happened with, you know, I mentioned earlier that free resources were shared with me. Yes, you get the free resources. But the real question starts with, what's the first thing you learn? What's the next thing you learn? How do you use this learning? How does it relate to how viable you are in the industry? You understand? So all these things were all gray areas to me. So one of the things that happened once I got into Women Textiles Fellowship is the structure became well-defined. In fact, as you're coming in, you already have like a list of topics that you go through. So you already have an idea, okay, this is, you should learn A before B, you should learn C before D. That became clear completely. And then the one-on-one form of lecture was really good. Was really, really good, because now you can say, oh, raise your hand and actually ask questions. Unlike watching a random YouTube video. And when something is not clear, you pause that particular one, then go and search for the concept that is not clear on another YouTube video. Or maybe search it online before you understand. You get, but in this case, you have a one-on-one lecture. And so everything just changed. You have someone to talk to when you have issues, things you're trying out yourself, things that are confusing. It was 6 months, but the 6 months was totally transformative. Even I couldn't believe it, because you see people saying it on Ocean Twitter, like, oh, all these short tech courses, they are lying to you, they are this, they are that. But I always tell people, Tech for Dev is the real deal. And since then, I've introduced several people to it. Well, anytime I see the applications open, either for the boot camp or the fellowship, I'm only sending it to several friends I know, though they are interested in transition. Okay, if you're looking for something, if you're looking for something to really revolutionize your tech career, you should apply for Women Textiles Fellowship. Yes, so that's was I able to answer your question?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for selling our market. We're happy.
Yes.
So, what was the fellowship like for you, especially the soft skills training, which is like the component of the fellowship program? How was that in preparing you for working in a tech organization?
I think that was a huge part, and it's something that is often overlooked. It's something you don't really know you need until you get into it. Because we had sessions like communication, complaints. When you have a complaint where you're not satisfied with something, we had sessions like your interview skills, and all these things just eventually come into play when you least expect. Even unconsciously, you just realize, oh, you're using this thing you were taught at the point. Especially when it comes to communication and interview skills, I remember that we had several lectures. When you have issues in the place of work, how do you address this? There will even be questions after each of our soft skills. And then people come up with, and then you have people telling you, oh, this is how you should go, this is how you should go. As someone that, you know, working in corporate world is different from working in a place like you're working in a school teaching or you're running a private business where you're not really accountable people. They are all different things entirely. Mm-hmm. So one thing Tech for Dev did, it actually prepared me for that corporate, in quotes, the corporate experience, the HR talks, mm-hmm. the stand-up expectations, the selling yourself in the place of work years, not just hiding behind. And I remember they emphasized on that a lot, that you don't just hide behind, make yourself known, respectful but known, let your presence be felt, make a difference. And I ensure that all those came into play when I started working. There's nothing like, oh, I can't do this. I'm always willing to try this. I'm always available for whatever task you have. And it's really helped, because coming into a proper job after 3 months, or just after 3 months of leaving a 6 month course, it was scary for me. I knew, of course, they would not employ me if they think I'm not good enough. But you know, you know, imposter syndrome. Yes, we were taught about imposter syndrome too. I think Tech for Dev was the first that actually explained that. And funny thing about imposter syndrome is, it's not enough that you know about it. You might know about it, but when you experience it, it's a whole different ball game entirely. So yeah, imposter syndrome is crazy. I'm so glad we were prepared for it. But even despite the fact that we were prepared for it, when I got in, it was crazy. But then I was always available to pick up tasks. No task is too much for me. Of course, at reasonable extent you get, but I'm never hiding. Yeah. Even though in my mind I'm feeling like, how are you going to do this thing? But I know if I still don't do it, I'm not going to get better. You understand? So it was really important. The soft skills training was really important in preparing me for both the interview stage, pre-employment, and employment, and every other stage of working in the corporate world. It was really good. And I think if you're listening to me and maybe you feel like, the soft skills training, I don't really need it, let me just switch on my phone to mark attendance. No, I think you should attend. You should really listen. It will come in handy when you least expect. So that's for the soft skills training.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, soft skills are really, really important skills to have, because your technical expertise can get you into the room, but it's the soft skills you have that will actually keep you there. How are you able to communicate? Are you a good team player? Are you a good problem solver? Right? These are the things that will matter and determine how
you team player. Yes.
How you move through the organization, how you move up in your career as well, because people want to work with people who can communicate properly and who are good team players, right? So you don't just want to work with somebody that doesn't even, you know, you have the head knowledge but you can't even communicate it. So that's actually, soft skills are really important skills to have, right? And it's very important that we, you know, keep hammering on that, which is, I'm really happy that, you know, you were able to draw from, you know, some of those things that you have learned. Well, can you walk us through how you got your first job? I know you mentioned it, but how were you able to get that job and how has that journey been so far?
All right. So towards the end of the Women Textiles Fellowship, we usually have a capstone project and we are usually assigned mentor. I'm not sure if that's still the term that's been used, but I think that was the term then. That's to be corrected. So we had a mentor on the group. Just one of these days, she just dropped the link for an hackathon for women going on. And I just clicked on the link. Frankly, all I saw was the money. So I think I saw first place $4,000 or $3,000. I can't remember. Second place $2,000. And I just forwarded it to my friend and like, guys, see this, look at what we have here, let's apply. So the lady was like, you guys should please apply and everything. So this is another thing I love about Tech for Dev. You just have a community. That's one of the reasons I'm great. I'm very grateful. Anybody can transition into tech via anything, via any organization, any tech course. But what I left Tech for Dev with was not just the technical know-how. I left with the community of women. And I am so grateful for them too now. Because at that point, on the capstone project, we already interacted with people of other tracks. So we're just like, okay, this is nice. And then my designer on my capstone project, I just sent a message to her that, hi, will you be interested in this? So she was like, oh, someone is reaching out to her, but she'll check and pick. And then I sent a message to a couple of my friends, although they are in the back end track, but we have one that used to be a front end dev that was already good at front end development, self-learning too, before she got in the back. I'm like, okay, guys, should we get people from outside or should we? And they were like, oh, I'm front end. I can say, we already saw they allowed 2 back end, 1 front end, 1 designer. So I spoke to my designer on the capstone project. Then got the other 2, one was front end, and then we applied. And it was, you know, it was like a joke. Because at a point, one of Tech for Devs, really, they don't want outside group. But at a point, we had to just create a WhatsApp group so that we can quickly talk about the hackathon. And one of the things we were joking about on the group is, what will we use the money for? It was just so funny. Just passing jokes with ourselves, laughing and everything. But then we wrote the essay, jumped on a call. That's another thing. Tech for Devs will teach you because you have a lot of projects. So we were already used to jumping on a call too. So we jumped on a call, reviewed our essays, everything. And then we submitted. Still laughing about the whole thing. So even though we're joking, though, we took the application serious, in case anyone is listening. We were laughing, yes, but we took it serious. And then we got the next mail. This is the problem statement. Give a solution and everything. Give a solution and a wireframe. I'm like, guys, this thing is serious, though. Yes, well, let's do it now. Oh, yeah. And we did it again. And then we submitted. And just randomly, I just got a mail. We had to come to Lagos for the hackathon. And we got the mail like 2 days before the day. And here we are scattered all over Nigeria. 2 of my teammates are in Port Harcourt. I'm in Ibadan. Oh, wow. Only one person is in Lagos. And at that point, truthfully, a part of me was feeling like, oh, these people are not kidnappers. Because now you're saying you will not just in the hotel. You do this. So it was then that I went back and actually read, you know, imagine applying and not really looking at
the people, the details.
Yes, I went back, looked at the details, googled the company, realized that, oh wait, so it is a notable company. And from the applications, they already put that, oh, opportunities to work with us. They listed a lot of things, but we were just joking about the money, frankly. So it was then that we took it a bit serious. I went back, check, and it's actually a popular organization. And this is what we've been laughing about. So I sent it to my friends and said, oh, it's trustworthy. I also sent it to a couple of friends in Lagos. And they know this hotel. Radisson Blu is not just any hotel. So if they're asking you that a program is going on there, don't be scared. Fortunately, one of the friends in Port Harcourt says she is currently in Lagos to visit the family. The other one is, so we sent a mail. So, okay, you said you provide accommodation. How about flights? And they were like, oh, let her come. She should pay for it. We will refund. And then we were like, okay, nice. So we took it really serious and then showed up. I got to Lagos a day before. I was not prepared at all. Got into Lagos, stayed at a friend's. My friend from Port Harcourt didn't get in until like 10 or 11 in the night. Got an hotel. And then we all met for the first time on that hackathon day. That we had to tell each other, what are you wearing? So you see that once we are seeing it, once we enter the place, we look at each other and be like, you are so person. Then we all got like, oh, finally we meet physically. And we did the hackathon. And it was, the hackathon was now on the day of our convocation at Tech for Dev. So we had to even write a mail to tell them we will not be able to attend.
Oh, interesting.
So while our mates were doing convocation, we were announced as first runner-up winner for the hackathon. So price of $2,000. Yes. And it was so exciting. I could not believe, like, this thing started as a joke.
I can imagine.
And so I was like, okay. And when they kept emphasizing throughout the program that, oh, we are going to invite you for job interviews. And it felt like, are they serious? And a few months later, not months, weeks, maybe like 6 weeks, that's 1.5 months, I just got a mail from the HR. No, a call, not a mail, a call. She introduced herself. Do I remember? I said, yes, I remember you. I saw you there. I said, okay. I remember that they promised us a job interview that. And I show up for, come online for a job interview in the next few hours. In fact, it was really short notice. And I'm like, yes, I was trying to tell, oh, what should I expect from the interview? And they're like, oh, you guys came second at the Akaton, so we have an idea of your technical know-how, but we need to know if you're a culture fit. Now, this is where another tech for dev soft skills came in. You know, we've prepared, we've done a lot of interview role-playing, a lot of those stuff. So, came on board, came for the, went for the interview, and it was not as, I was scared, yes, but it went smoothly. And another maybe 6 weeks later, she sent a message that, oh, if you did fine. However, like, just telling you, they've kept you in mind. And at that point, I was still feeling like, are these people serious? You get. And on a random Thursday afternoon, I got a call asking me, can I start work the following week? I'm like, excuse me? Oh, this is how much you're paying. Can you start work following week? I said, at that point, when you're like, are you okay with the money? In my mind, I was like, am I supposed to say no? I just said yes. Because during the culture fit interview, they asked how much was I expecting. I even caught something lower than what they were saying on phone. In fact, they were very fair because. And before you know it, it was still feeling like a dream. Before you know it, the following week, you said, okay, come to the office to pick up your system. You'll be working mostly remotely, but you need to show up. I went in, got my system, and it was like a dream. So they ended up taking two out of my teammates in. Both of us from Tech for Dev. Two of us are currently employed with the company and already 2 years onboarded now. So it was, you see, that it still leads back to Tech for Dev. So when I say Tech for Dev, we always have a place in my heart. Because I can remember the day she sent, the mentor sent a link to that account. I can't remember the name of the mentor. I know she's a woman. I doubt even if she remembers she sent anything on our Teams group for the Women Testers Fellowship that year. But that was really it, actually. That it still, like, goes back to Tech for Dev. And it's been amazing. My job, oh, very, very, it's a very good working place. A place that fosters growth and development. And from there on, it changed everything. It's absolutely changed everything about me. Beyond the money, there's a way you feel when you set your mind to achieve something. Something as, like, switching your career, and you are actually able to pull through, actually complete a course and then get a job after. Oh, it felt really good. It was like a self-esteem booster for me. The way I moved, the confidence, winning the hackathon, oh, the kind of confidence it gave me. Because after that, whenever I sit at an interview, just a line, one line mention of winning a hackathon, and you realize that the tone of the interview changes from someone they are trying to grill, it changes in someone they will be happy to have on board. And that meant so much. And I don't know, ever since then, you know, I've applied for so many things that ordinarily the old Ife would not apply to you. You feel like, oh, will they really take me? But since Tech for Dev getting in, you know, that I told you that mail, like, I never forget. Them telling me, out of 6,000 applicants, you are part of the less than 60% we are taking it. And then winning the hackathon, that changes things. Now, whenever I see an opening, it never occurs to me that they won't take me. I just apply. I apply with the confidence that I'm good enough. And I can actually trace that back to getting into the Women Testers Fellowship and subsequently the hackathon, and then getting a job. It changes everything, and I just feel like there is nothing that I can't do, that I can achieve. Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, your story is just so heartwarming. I'm just like, just listening to your story. I mean, I'm really glad that you have been able to get this much growth. And the part that I really like the most, or that resonated with me the most about your story, is how I can see, even as you're saying it, I can see that how you had that change, how your confidence grew, and you were able to just put, I mean, the rare thing for your first mindset about applying for something or putting yourself out there, it's a rare thing for your first mindset to be, I'm good enough for this thing, hence I will apply. Most times, you're just like, yeah, they're looking for the maybe one criteria that will just be like, I don't think I have this. I don't think I have this. But it's a rare thing for you to, for your first mindset to be, oh, I'm good enough for this, and then therefore I would apply for it, which is a really good place to be. And yeah, I'm really glad that you are currently in that space. So I want to talk a bit about the Developers Foundry Fellowship. So you applied, which is like for entry level, just to upskill into mid-level tech talent. How has that experience been for you? And has it, you know, given your career any boost so far?
Yes. That's like for Developers Foundry. And when I saw the opening, the first thing I knew is that anything coming from Tech for Dev and I am qualified for, just know that a fair will always apply. And this is not a question of money, actually. If it were to be paid, I'm going to pay for it. Because one thing is, there is value to be had, anything attached with Tech for Dev. I know that I am going to get value. So once I saw it, I didn't think twice. One, because getting into my, I'm like 2 years into my work now. And one of the questions I usually ask mentors is, at what point do you start calling yourself a mid-level developer? At what point do you start calling yourself a senior engineer? What do you need to know? What is that distinct factor or distinct skills that separates you? Because I'm learning every day. I'm upskilling, but I'm not really sure how to get to that point in which I can start saying, okay, I'm a senior dev, I'm this and that. So that question has been on my mind for a while. And when I got to the Developers Foundry website, this was the first thing they said. They want to bridge the gap. And it meant a lot. I knew, okay, I have to be here. If Tech for Dev is saying they want to bridge the gap, then they are definitely trying to bridge the gap. But as usual, the application process, as usual, dancing, you can only trust Tech for Dev. I'm only saying, see, I think Tech for Dev is trying to check your resilience. If you can go through their application process, they know that to a certain extent, you are not a quitter, because they don't do anything half-heartedly at all. So the essays were there again. I spent days writing and refining because I really wanted it. And I got in. It was exciting. This time around, it was 50 people out of about 3,000. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. And as usual, now they will send the mail and tell you half of how many you are. And now, okay, let's do this again. And oh God, it's been amazing. I wrote an article on Medium about my experience in Developers Foundry.
Oh, fantastic.
Because I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it. And I don't think the article even captured how much I enjoyed it. I don't want to go too technical because I know the listeners might not be technical, but so many concepts that I had questions about were treated. As usual, we have one-on-one. Our tutor is one-on-one, so you are able to ask questions. You're given assignments, things that ordinarily you would overlook. So you see that question that I kept asking, that what really makes a difference between high and a senior engineer? It became clear. Okay, if you want to call yourself a senior engineer, these are the things, these are the lists of things you need to get done. And it was really impacting. And just when I thought the technical part is the best, then we did the next thing, the soft skills training. And we did a fireside chat where we had some founders. And those were very exciting. I was always happy to attend. And this time around, I wasn't just laid back. I think I'm the class rep for backend track. Because I know that, okay, I'm always mentioning that, guys, I've been through Tech for Dev before. If you calm down, you get something. You not just get something, you get something good out of this. So it was really amazing. The soft skills training were really good. Then we got life coach. Oh, yeah, I don't think you know how important that was for me. The first time, like a proper 10-year goal, a proper 5-year goal. And it was really good. You know, when you have, this time around, they are not talking to the entire team. they're talking to you, you yourself. My coach had, I think we had three sessions. Was it three? Yeah, I think it was three. And it was really good. You know, when you start talking about SWOT analysis for yourself, your strengths, your weakness, opportunity, your threats. One thing this kind of stuff does to you is that it forces you to introspect. So it's easier for you to solve a problem that you know exists than solving one that you don't know exists. Then it's easier for you to play to your strengths and work on your weakness. So we did that. I submitted the SWOT analysis, and I think it wasn't really about submitting to the coach. It was about me even like knowing it for myself, you understand? Then my resume, it was, you know, of course, all the soft skills training with me, and they've been talking about resume. But now when you have somebody one-on-one looking through your resume line by line and telling you, see, this is what you could have done better. This is what you can do better. And now I realize that. Now, see, my resume went through. It was different from all the lectures I've been having before. And a complete change. And I tell you, the rate of invite, you know, when you apply, when you apply for jobs, you usually have like a particular percentage of callback you get and a percentage of callbacks you don't get. So usually I realize that the callbacks I used to get before Developers Foundry were people that knows me and actually knows my technical abilities, you get. But for random applications, it wasn't like that. However, that changed after my coaching session. And now, when I apply randomly, I get callbacks instantly. So now, it was obvious that whatever was going on before was because my resume was not written in a way for them to know how good I am, except they already had an interaction with me. So people that have met me, I'm like, please send us your CV. I was getting, but not just applying randomly online. So that changed completely. So when I apply randomly now, I get callbacks, and it's really meant a lot to me. Putting yourself out there became different. They taught us since Women Testers Fellowship to put ourselves out there, you get. But back then, I just kept feeling like, do you know enough to put yourself out there? And for Developers Foundry, all that changed. All that completely changed, because one thing, they are not just teaching you to upskill. I remember the first time our tutor had a class with us, trying to get to know each of us, what we already know. And he's like, I thought they said this thing is for entry level. I'm talking with mid-level developers here. And it was like, okay, is that good? So it became, because I wrote this on the article, like it went from trying to go from entry level to mid-level to realizing, okay, you might actually already be a mid-level developer. Then it became indirectly moving into, how do you become a senior developer? I think I put in something like that, the website might say there is for you becoming mid-level from entry-level, but the value I got is actually telling me I'm moving from mid-level to senior. So which means the issue I had before with being a mid-level developer is because I didn't even understand the extent of my own technical abilities. So you get that.
You're not able to position yourself properly.
Yes. So that's the first thing you get even before you start learning. And then right now, I think we're in the last six months, we have a technical mentor. So imagine we have the technical sessions for topics that we need to catch up on, that we need to upskill on. We have soft skills session, we had fireside chat. And now we had life coach, and now we are having a technical mentor. So the life coach kind of just touched around your career, your entire life and everything, your goal, your plan. Now the technical mentor is now going deep. Okay, this is your 10-year goal, career plan. How do you intend to achieve this? And we have sessions every week. As I'm speaking to you, my mentor just sent a link about people interested in system design, and it's been lovely. You know, it gives you this is what you want to achieve. What are you planning to do to achieve? So now I've moved from someone that just knows what she wants to achieve to someone that knows, okay, to achieve this, these are the measurable plans you need to have. And then there's something it does for us whereby we write our weekly, what we are doing weekly towards our career growth. So are you taking this course? Are you building this app? Are you learning this concept? Put it in. So you know what you want to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that one too has really changed a lot. I'm able to like focus, just not my mind going several places, because with tech, there's always something to learn. You never stop learning. So if you're not careful, your mind keeps traveling around and, oh, they are learning this today. You want to learn it, you want to upskill. So with this, I'm able to focus more. And I have someone that I can say, oh, I am trying to figure this out. What do you think? So it's not like technical teaching. No. It's purely mentoring, just someone to guide you. And someone you know you can send a message to at any point and give you an idea of, okay, this is what you're doing right. This is what you can do better. So yes, that's Developers Foundry. I feel like I've been very lucky. And frankly, if it were paid, I will be glad to pay for it, because it's real value, real value.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your journey so far, from the Movement Experience to the Developers Foundry, and all of the value that you've gotten. For us as an organization, this is actually good feedback, which is great. So thank you for sharing without holding back. So just my last question to you. So if you were to give someone listening right now an advice, maybe the person who's thinking about transition, maybe to try tech, or just try to take it, what advice would you give that person?
Okay, so advice for anyone transitioning into tech, I would say the first advice is you can do it. Because one thing I notice about everyone, one question I always get is, do you think I can really do this thing? And then the next question I ask them is, did you go to school? Yes. Even if it's secondary school, even if it's secondary school you completed, were you able to read and write? If you can read and write, have basic skills, the next thing you need after that is just resilience. You don't have to be this, you don't have to be a genius to switch into tech. You just need to be resilient. You just need to be willing to go all the way. That's one advice I'm always giving, because a lot of times you see people, especially when maybe I'm coding in a place that my system is exposed, and then they look into my laptop and they're like, wow, you're so smart. And I'm like, no, yes, I'm smart, yes, but no, it's not as. I'm like, I always tell them, see, if your first theory coding class, if it's not confusing, it means you are like genius level, past Einstein's level genius. It's meant to be confusing. Expect it to be confusing. So if you're listening now, don't be discouraged, because this thing is looking like it's supposed to be confusing. It's now when you become exposed to it over and over again, when you look at the concept over and over again, when you pick up your system, try it out, listen to lectures, try it out, try to apply, that's when it gets better. So what you need is simple resilience. An average smart person, you can transition into tech. You just need to really want it. Because sometimes the going is going to get tough. I know this sounds like a cliche statement, like when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. But in reality, it gets tough. And it's not just for tech, if you are being sincere. Anything you're doing in life, it gets tough. Even if I want to say that I want to remain as a teacher, at a point, you would want more. So growth is not meant to be an easy process. So you will face challenges, but there are challenges that you expect for someone that wants to grow in life. Like my father in the Lord always says this, that you need to understand the prayer of progress from the prayer of problem. That the prayer some of you are having is the prayer of progress that you are interpreting as your life. You have problem in your life. So yes, when you wake up and you are trying to work on it, concepts, and it's looking like it's a bit hard, it's the pressure of progress. There's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. You're smart. You can do it. So that would be my counsel. You can do it. That's just have that in mind. And the second thing, don't cage yourself. You get, go out there, interact with people. And I don't mean physical interaction. The internet is good. It just depends on how you use it. Because if you see the way I've said my story, I got the link for the Women Testers Fellowship on a WhatsApp group for even a different tech course entirely. So I had to put myself out there, because if you don't even know, there was this video Tech for Dev asked us to do on why we should be picked. And one of the things I said on there is people often say that you need to go for what you're passionate about. But you don't even know what you are passionate about. You can't know if you're passionate about something except you experience that thing. You understand what I'm saying? For a child that the options are limited, let's say we have a child that has never been exposed to using a computer, never been exposed to coding. How can that child tell whether he or she will be passionate about coding if she has never even encountered it? You get. So my counsel is, put yourself out there. Don't just put, relate with people, socialize. Join as many groups that can put you up as possible. Then follow people that are in your line, people that are where you want to be. I think that helped a lot for me too. When I was doing the Aviva thing, one of the things I did was follow a lot of business coaches on Instagram. Now, when I switched to tech, I also started following people in tech that are doing very well. So now you have an idea of where you want to be. Sometimes, you know, these people, social media is, we are in the age of content creation, and these people create content and they are valuable. And you get a lot from it. Yes, you get a lot from it. And it either helps you resolve to keep going, or it helps you to know that, okay, you're not alone in what you're going through. Or you even get opportunities on those platforms, opportunities that you don't know are available. So that's the second thing. Put yourself out there. Put yourself out there. What else? You can do it. So that would be my two major advice. You can do it. All you need is residence. And secondly, put yourself out there. Take advantage of what the internet has to offer. Even if you're going for a paid course, you still have to be able to sit down and learn on your own. That's very important. You cannot just say, nobody can teach you everything. Even if they are staying with you 24 hours, you still have to sit down. Women Testers Fellowship was very comprehensive, but even as comprehensive as it was, you still have to sit down and learn some concepts on your own. And I think they also understood that, because they made the compulsory for us to have like two certificates outside of what they were teaching us. In fact, Tech for Dev is really detailed, because I just remember this part now. So where it was part of our criteria to graduate to get two outside certificates. Yeah. So yes, don't just sit down with, maybe you register for a course, you paid money, and then you're now angry that I'm feeling like they're not teaching you enough. Nobody can teach you enough. It's not possible.
Self-learning
is important. They will give you the structure, they will get you going, but you need to refill that tank by learning on your own. And it's good. The going is going to get really good. If you are in it for money too, I don't recommend that should be your only reason. But if you are in it for money too, definitely it gets better in that aspect too. You just need to keep going. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Felua. This was a really great conversation. It was just lovely to hear your story and your journey so far. Thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so key takeaways, know yourself, you can do it, and put yourself out there, really. Of course, you have to keep learning. When you stop learning, you stop growing. Thank you so much, Ife. And that's a wrap on today's episode of Tech Empowered. Ife's story just shows how she just made the most of the opportunities that she got. And that's really amazing. It's one thing to have opportunities, but making the most of it is what sets you apart from the next person, really. And her story just reminds us that sometimes the change we desire only comes when we find the courage to act. Seeing the opportunities to grow, and instead of holding back, she was courageous enough to chase them. Her leap into tech didn't just multiply her income. Of course, that's a plus, that's good. But it also expanded her possibilities and gave her career stability. And the most important part, which I really, really found really, really cool, was how it just gave her this confidence boost. And like she shared, recruiters now reach out to her directly, which is really cool. It's a cool place to be, really. And the journey wasn't without challenges, of course, but you've already heard from me, Felix, has been absolutely worth it. And yeah, so thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, it's never too late to start. If you feel our story inspired you, don't forget to share. Don't keep it to yourself. Share with someone who needs a little bit of encouragement. And subscribe to Tech Empowered if you haven't done so yet, so you never miss an episode from us. Check out our other powerful stories from previous episodes. And I am your host, Yemisi. I'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.